are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Monday, April 23, 2018. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, now we know why he can afford to be so boring on the radio. Sean Hannity, a flip this foreclosure king. Meanwhile, efforts to stop torture guru Gina Haspel as CIA chief grow. Indiana teachers now could go on strike despite the anti-strike laws in their state. Meanwhile, Macron arrive et etat uni. SCOTUS primed to rule on Trump's Muslim ban. National Security Chief Bolton just quit an anti-Muslim think tank. And Trump's favorite doctor slash VA nominee may get blocked. And as Yemen teeters, actually, I think it's probably already teetered off into disaster. 20 killed in a Saudi-backed raid. The DNC sues a lot of folks, I guess. And Wisconsin leads the way in going backwards. All this and more on today's program, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it is another week in the news, in the era of Trump. A lot of insanity. I'm still not sure what I feel about this DNC suit. For those people who are skeptical as to whether their servers were actually hacked, this would be a good way to find out. Because the DNC will be subject to discovery, theoretically, in this process. They sued, the DNC sued... I think it was the Nixon administration, the Nixon campaign after Watergate. Did you know that, Matt?
I was not aware of that, no.
Yeah, they sued him, I think, for $1 million. I mean, theoretically, right, there should be a monetary consumption. I'm not sure how much I appreciate them suing WikiLeaks. As skeptical as I've become over that enterprise as of late, it's still... I mean, I guess it really sort of is a function of their role in this, but I don't know if I like the idea of any type of journalistic outlet, even as skeptical as I have become of WikiLeaks being sued.
But suing, like, they want to put Julian Assange in prison.
Well, the DNC doesn't have the ability to put Julian Assange
in prison. Yeah, well, those the same people do.
Well, I don't know if I mean, I don't know. Maybe they want him to go to prison, but they're not in a position to put him in prison. I mean, I think these people who work at the DNC have nothing to do with law enforcement. And the question is whether or not you want an entity suing, you know, any more than I want Peter Thiel suing Gawker. Do I want the DNC suing WikiLeaks? But in terms of suing Russia and the Trump campaign, I don't know. It seems like perhaps a waste of money, but they think they have some type of action, and I guess we'll see. Let's hear from Tom Perez, who, again, he may personally want Julian Assange in jail, but he's not in a position to do anything about it.
I mean, the Democratic Party establishment at large.
I guess. I mean, all right. Well, here is Tom Perez.
All right, I'm going to ask you a question that apparently came up on a conference call that you had with some state party leaders. And this was from Slate. It said, I just mentioned this to a county. This is referring to somebody. We don't know who it was on the call, but a state party official. I just mentioned this to a county chair, and her response was, how can we spend all that money? So can you address that, the financial burden that's going to be on us? I will ask, this is going to cost the DNC. How much money are you taking away from 2018 to focus on 2016 in Russia?
Chuck, we can't afford not to do this, because when you look ahead and you see what was done before and what they're trying to do again, our democracy is at stake. It's hard to win elections when you have interference in elections. We've been winning elections. We know how to walk and chew gum. We've got boots on the ground right now in Arizona. We have a great candidate. She's an undeniable underdog. We're fighting there. We just won in Wisconsin.
You didn't answer. How much money is this lawsuit going to take this year? Millions?
I don't know. I don't know the amount of money that it will take, but I'll tell you, it's hard to put a price tag on preserving democracy. And you know what? That's why I concluded that it would be irresponsible of me not to do this.
I mean, ultimately, it's going to be easier to put a price tag on it when you find out how much it's going to cost and you pay out the lawyers. They have been winning elections, at least since 2016, but it does seem to me, I mean, I wouldn't donate for that money unless there can be some type of like return. Like, I'm not sure how much money do they think they're going to win that's going to convince Russia to not do that again. I'm not quite clear. I understand what the theory is behind it, but they did sue, you know, after Watergate. There is an analog here on some level. I mean, I don't necessarily, you wouldn't sue the WikiLeaks.
Would it be just for monetary damages, or is there something where the DNC just wants to air some stuff and get them out in the open?
That's the only other thing, is that you wonder if this isn't all about discovery. I mean, it goes both ways. Obviously, for those who are skeptical as to whether or not the they were actually hacked, the DNC has got to provide all they will, presumably attorneys from the other side will say, we want to see all the server records, all of it. But presumably too, through a discovery in this instance, there may be things that have to be revealed on the other side that there is some value in that they may anticipate. I guess we will find out.
I think you saw in your conversation with Cliff a couple weeks ago that Russia is much higher on the list of priorities for establishment Democrats than it is for the base. Like, I forget exactly what it was that they traded for sanctions on Russia in one legislative session. I need to look it up, but it was something that a lot more people care about. And it's just like, they're going to ride this forever, I think.
I mean, look, I just think that I don't think that we can really tell what the logic is behind this, because you would have to be completely tone deaf to go forward with this suit, knowing you're going to spend money and not have any type of strategy on where it leads. Right now, it's possible they have none, but I mean, Tom Perez is not an idiot. And so I don't know. I will reserve judgment as to whether or not there is any value to this. It seems to me, I would think it's a waste of money. But like I say, maybe there's something in discovery that they think they're going to find, whether it's with Russia or with the Trump. I mean, the story, because people like to focus on the Russia aspect, is, but maybe the whole point of it is more about, there's an element in the Trump administration that they're the Trump campaign that they think has value. So I don't know.
When people think our democracy is under threat, I feel like they're more likely to get in line and support the party line. But I guess we'll see.
It'd be nice if we could get the people who would pay for like the McCabe crowdfunding thing to also bankroll this thing.
Yes, indeed. Nutrafol is a new, safe, and effective strategy to help you take control of your hair health. It's made with 100% drug-free nutraceutical ingredients, clinically shown to improve thinning hair. It's recommended by over 850 top physicians, some of the top salons in the country. Some folks actually report better sleep and digestion too. It's available in two distinct formulas for men and for women to suit your specific metabolic needs. Go to Nutrafol.com to learn more. You can get your first month's supply with a subscription for $10 at Nutrafol.com. Use the promo code MAJORITY during checkout. That's Nutrafol, Nutrafol.com. Offer code MAJORITY to get your first month's supply for $10 with subscription. Apparently, it's not just genetics that have it out for your hair. Stress, DHT levels, diet, and environmental toxins all have been discovered to compromise hair health. Whatever the cause is, you're catching your reflection in the mirror and you're concerned. Michael's not here today. Maybe you've tried the drug on the market. Maybe you're interested in something that's 100% drug-free, leveraging the latest, greatest in biotech. Nutrafol's botanical ingredients are shown to improve hair without compromising sexual health or any other kind. In fact, one of Nutrafol's key ingredients, sal palmetto, has been shown to support healthier libido. That is Nutrafol.com, offer code MAJORITY. Folks, as you know, I just got back, I guess it was a week ago, but whenever I travel, I hit my texture app like no business. And are you paying attention? Like, look, and I will be the first to admit that this program narrowly focused on politics. I mean, it's sort of like me. I have people in my life who are just on a daily basis astonished at how little I know about outside of these parameters. Like, I can't even remember the name of the guy or the like it was something, you know, music.
Cardi B?
Yeah, Cardi B came up and I was like, yeah, I vaguely have heard of Cardi B just in the past week because of Bernie Sanders. Mm-hmm. That's it. But Beyonce, apparently, she's really big now.
Yep, now she's big.
Huge. And I just found out she was married to Jay-Z.
She was.
Is she still?
She still is, yep.
Okay, well, there you go. See, I'm learning. But look, there's also a middle ground between there and there, which is what I like about texture, because I end up reading a bunch of magazines that I keep saying I've got to read, but I don't. You get it all with Texture. It's the app that covers over 200 top magazines all in one place. With Texture, you get complete issues and back issues for things like Time, The Atlantic, The New Yorker, Family Handyman. Go back, learn how to make the perfect trim. If you want something lighter, you got People, Cosmo, Entertainment Weekly. Texture delivers the best of both worlds, newsworthy stories and relaxing entertainment anytime, anywhere. Magazines are where you find the best journalism, best photographs, in-depth interviews, perspectives that show you all sides of the story. Deep dive into issues you care about today with Texture. It's usually $9.99 a month, but they're giving our listeners a free trial. You can start your 7-day free trial. Go to texture.com/majority. That's texture.com/majority. Start reading the latest issues of your favorite magazines. Texture.com/majority. All right, folks, let's dive into this. This is a pretty disturbing story. So if there are kids who are listening, young children, maybe it's time just to like skip ahead 6 or 7 minutes because people know I abhor violence of any type, even if it's against someone like Milo Yiannopoulos. And I just was reading his Facebook post, and I was very upset. I want to read this. This is just from 19 hours ago. Maybe a little more now. I was just shoved and screamed at by a big group in a pub in Manhattan and forced out of the place. My God. Shoved? Screamed at? One of them was a reporter for Gizmodo. Jesus.
Antifa news outlet.
Oh, my God. They were screaming at the top of their lungs about Nazis and KKK. This sounds like a complete cacophony and the shoving and the screaming. Initially, I was going to stay put, but obviously they blocked me from my table and my bag. They try and take his bag? And they yelled at me to leave. and it was just about to escalate into something ugly. It sounds like it was ugly. I mean, if he's been shoved, it rattled me a little bit, just slightly. Perhaps because I have something to lose in life now. Wow.
Had? I don't know.
My first thought was John and not getting myself hurt or killed. I think that's his husband. Wow. This was so harrowing that it made him think about losing his own life and leaving his husband. I don't know how I'd explain to my black husband that I got hurt for being a white supremacist. Hmm. Does he always refer to him as, does he call him Black John? I mean, and possibly he wouldn't have the opportunity to explain because it sounds like his life was threatened here. I didn't have security with me. Jesus. That's classic. Forget you go to the pub. How many times have we all done this? Forgot to bring our security detail. So I just had to get out of there. I won't name the place we were at because the staff were really understanding and cool about it. But geez, it's now impossible for me to safely go out for lunch in most major cities in America because I supported Trump at the last election and don't like feminism. It's weird because there's so many people who supported Trump. And there's a lot of people who don't like feminism. I wonder why they don't get... All right, so we apparently have footage. Folks, this sounds like it's going to be super disturbing. The shoving, the screaming, the threatening. This guy looks like his life is endangered. Here it is, Milo Yiannopoulos. Do we know the name of the bar?
It was Churchill's Pub in East 20s.
Oh, my God. Of course, that's Churchill's a very Tavern. Dangerous area. Churchill's Tavern in East 20s. Here it is.
Nazi scum, get out! Nazi scum, get out! Nazi scum, get out! Nazi scum, get out!
Pause it. Now, this must have been before the shoving, right? Because he's just standing there calmly, apparently. And it's unclear to me whether or not that's just the patrons there or if it's also the staff.
And some passersby in the street.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, but this must be way before the shoving because he seems totally calm. Good.
Nazi scum, get out! 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 Nazi scum, get out!
Oh, they're getting their bags from the checkout girl.
Nazi scum, get out!
And they left. That's weird.
Chilling.
Yes, and look at how they were almost blocked. They were a foot from the bar, and they asked the bartender for their backpacks back.
It's like footage from a war zone.
That is crazy. I can't believe he went through something like that. And in New York, of course, there's so few bars that he probably had to go right home and couldn't go anywhere else. And it turns out he just walked into a pub that just happened to have... be full of members coming from a DSA citywide meeting.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about our info security. I feel like someone must have leaked that to him because...
That seems like quite a coincidence.
Yeah, and after he'd been, you know, getting pretty irrelevant for a while.
Yes. So I have to say, this is the first time in probably many months I've said Milo Yiannopoulos. So...
Yeah, very concerned about the InfoSec on that.
I would be a little bit concerned. And also, those people have to calm down. All of the mental shoving they did and the...
His ears might have been ringing.
It's true.
I mean...
I could see how his first thought after that would be like, my husband, what would happen if I left my husband alone?
My black husband.
My black husband.
This may surprise you, but an eyewitness tells me there was no shoving.
You know, I am not surprised after looking at that video because he seems super calm if that was after the shoving.
Hmm. Also, like, I know these people and they're not the most threatening group.
Well, says you. I mean, look at the way they all
chant at somebody.
Chanted in unison. You never know. They could go to like the next thing you know, they could be going up to Yankee Stadium and yelling Yankees suck out in front of it.
That would like those Antifa people have been doing for a long time.
It's really dangerous. May 8th, apparently, Gina Haspel is slated to go in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee for her nomination as head. I'm sorry, this is May 9th. This is her confirmation hearing to be named CIA chief. Pompeo is attempting to move over to State Department. The CIA on Friday declassified and released a memo, and this is going to be shocking to you, too. It apparently clears Gina Haspel of any wrongdoing in drafting an order to destroy videotaped evidence of brutal interrogation techniques, in other words, torture. This is part of a broader campaign to support her within the CIA. The memo was written by former CIA Deputy Director Michael Morell in 2011 as the result of a disciplinary review in which he found no fault with the performance of Ms. Haspel, primarily because she drafted the cable on the direct orders of her superior and did not release it herself. And of course, you have senators, including Dianne Feinstein, saying it's completely unacceptable for the CIA to classify only material that's favorable to Gina Haspel. I mean, they're the CIA. While at the same time stonewalling our efforts to declassify all documents related to her involvement in the torture program. Look, Dianne Feinstein has seen the torture report. Very few people have. They know her role in this. They know how extensive her role in this was. There has been a document that has been signed now by released today by 100 retired general and flag officers of the U.S. military. We urge you to examine closely the full extent of Ms. Haspel's involvement in the rendition, detention, and interrogation program. Should you find she played any role in carrying out, supervising, or directing the torture or abuse of people in U.S. custody or the destruction of evidence relating to these activities, we urge you to reject her nomination. There are multiple uncontested reports that she ran a CIA black site prison at which at least one detainee was repeatedly tortured, including waterboarding. Former CIA General Counsel John Rizzo has stated that for some period of time, a person we now know to be Ms. Haspel oversaw CIA's entire interrogation program that was rife with mismanagement and abuse. She appears to be involved in inappropriate actions that went beyond what authorized by Congress or senior officials in the executive branch. Public reports suggest the cases of detainee abuse she supervised or otherwise had an operational role involved in conduct more abusive than what the discredited legal memo supported. She also appears to have strongly advocated for and played a key role in carrying out an order to destroy 92 videotapes of individuals in U.S. custody, despite federal court orders requiring preservation of all records pertaining to detainee abuse. Now, maybe she was just following orders, which she knew was, which she had to have known, were contrary. Yeah, exactly. The idea that anybody associated with that would still be at the CIA, never mind. And of course, this happened also with Brennan, too, right? Is an epic failure of our entire body politic, particularly the Obama administration in the wake of the Bush administration. But May 9th, we will see if there is the will going forward to prevent her from. Did they do this with to prevent her from being nominated? Did they do that? Did the Democrats actually refuse to vote on Pompeo in committee? Has that been resolved yet? The idea being is there's one technique that they can use, which is to refuse to actually provide a quorum for the vote on a nominee coming out of committee. In which case, the committee cannot even offer a negative recommendation to the full Senate, in which case the Senate has to, McConnell has to actually issue a, basically a new resolution, which then could be filibustered, is my understanding.
CNN reported 25 minutes ago, Manchin joined Heitkamp in saying he'll vote for Pompeo.
On the floor or in committee?
On the floor.
Okay, so he's likely to fail the committee vote. So I guess the Democrats decided not to go this route. Because he will fail in the committee. But nevertheless, the committee will then issue a negative. This would have been a pretty big escalation of the in terms of bending Senate procedures, let's put it that way. But
the Democrats never held these people accountable before. Why would they start now?
Well, the issue in this instance is whether or not they want to basically scrap the ability of the next president to even appoint anybody. They've got rid of the filibuster. The next issue would be, how would you deal with this? And I don't know if there is a fix for this. So, all right, moving on. Oh, let's talk about this for a moment. This story out of Wisconsin. And we had a little bit of technical difficulties. We're going to bring you an interview, and if we have to, we will redo this interview on basically the assault in 2010. And this gets very little focus and discussion. But so much of the money that came pouring in after Citizens United was focused on state races and state initiatives by the right in 2010. We've seen their... we've seen the product of some of this money in the form of the gerrymandering, but so much of it was a to push an agenda, and nowhere is more indicative of this than Wisconsin. We saw it within 2 months of maybe less of Scott Walker being sworn into office back in 2011. They were already assaulting public sector unions. They were already assaulting the Wisconsin's version of Medicaid. And one of the things that they did over the years in Wisconsin, in 2013, Scott Walker signed legislation requiring childless adults who aren't disabled to work at least 20 hours a week to continue to qualify for food stamps. Those who didn't do so were required to attend training programs scattered throughout the state until they could find a job. In February of this year, the state took it a step further. Parents of school-age children will also have to work to receive food stamps. And instead of 20 hours, they have to work 30 hours. In February, as part of that suite of laws, too, Wisconsin passed a law prohibiting food stamp recipients from owning a car valued at more than $20,000. So the Washington Post did a story on this couple, James Howlett and... Nadine, he has a Ford Fusion. He and Nadine and their two kids are bouncing from suburban homeless shelter to suburban homeless shelter. They drive their kids to kindergarten and daycare around the outskirts of Milwaukee. He's not sure what the value of that car is. He didn't just buy it. But the story of how they got there is pretty harrowing. Things just kept spiraling out of control for them. They lost a job, then they lost another job. There have been 9 welfare reform bills, so-called welfare reform bills, that have been passed in Wisconsin. And the purpose of this, of course, is to make sure that people with giant mansions and fancy cars don't get welfare checks while hardworking taxpayers pay the bill. Now, food stamps, on the upside, the most I think you can get is somewhere around $200 a month worth of food stamps. Since Walker put the work requirements into place, the Health Services Department said it's cut spending on food stamps by 28%, from $1.2 billion in 2013 to $867 million in 2017. 25,000 food stamp recipients out of a statewide total of 700,000 have found work. Now, something else has happened between 2013 and 2017, and that is millions of more people across the country have found work. Because the economy, while not going gangbusters, has improved marginally. And the problem with this type of welfare, so-called welfare reform, in addition to it being an incredible hardship on people who are already suffering, in addition to potentially leaving kids without food, it gets even worse when you have a downturn in the economy. So when Bill Clinton's 96 so-called welfare reform was imposed, this was on the upswing of the economy, and the idea of people getting jobs was much easier. And so they could read it as like, oh, look, it's encouraging people to work. And so for the first 2 years, it appeared like it was working properly. In 2001, there was a Labor Department study which showed that in the end, it had no implication for whether or not people got work. All it did was it meant that there was a lot more suffering. No difference in income and employment between those who were subjected to work requirements and a control group that was not. Whatever their status, though, parents still had to contend with the challenge of finding good-paying jobs and consistent hours in places where they might be limited with less to keep them afloat in terms of providing for their children. State officials said that more than 86,000 people have lost their ability to get food stamps and did not report getting new jobs. And there's been, of course, no government study examining what happened to them, because then you'd have all of these stories of people skipping meals, of kids going without food. This is what happened to this couple. Nadine lost one cleaning job in a suburban hospital while waiting to start another 5 blocks from her apartment. Then their car broke down and he had to cut back on his hours as a Lyft driver, and then they couldn't afford rent anymore. They tried to apply for an emergency loan from the state, but they were disqualified because they were not receiving cash assistance at the time, even though they were still eligible for food stamps. They lived in hotels until money ran out and then tried moving into a homeless shelter in Milwaukee, but it was full. They were pointed to the suburbs where they could find maybe a network of churches. Yeah. Meanwhile, they're basically just trying to make the kids seem, you know, trying to tell the kids that everything's fine. They've sold off most of the kids' toys. They've tried to keep some. In the last six months, 44% of participants reported gaining employment after going through a work training program. They averaged 35 hours per week at a wage of $12.88. To afford a 2-bedroom in Milwaukee, a family must work 40 hours a week at $17.83. So there have been dramatic in the mid 1990s in Wisconsin, 80 out of 100 families living below the poverty line in Wisconsin received cash assistance. Now it's 20 out of every 100. Meanwhile, they're going to be paying off Foxconn. What is it? Billions of dollars worth of tax breaks. So that's essentially in Milwaukee. And understand, Milwaukee in Wisconsin is the template. They would roll this stuff out in every state across the country if they could. This is where the Koch brothers started, with Scott Walker, who was born and raised AFP. Like the OG Koch brother surrogate. And this is the vision they want to create across the country. And to some extent, they've had decent success. They have the destruction of public sector unions, the cutting back on support for citizens, all of it. Indiana was another place. Mike Pence was the former governor there. In Indiana, teachers do not have the right to strike. However, not unlike Oklahoma, West Virginia, and Kentucky, there is an understanding that there's not much the state government can do if they do strike. They can't afford to fire them and rehire all sorts of teachers. In fact, in Indiana, there is a big shortage of teachers. You know, we always hear that the real problem with teachers is that the unions won't let their teachers be fired. As if there's this big, long line of people who are looking to be underpaid after getting highly educated and working in crappy conditions with very little support, and then also demonization. In Indiana, over the past, now they're 31st in the country with teacher pay. So that's around $50,000 a year. In the year 2000, the average Indiana pay a teacher salary was $59,000, almost $60,000. $60,000. And 17 years later, it is now $50,000. That's just shocking.
That's a lot of belt tightening.
That's a lot of belt tightening, and add in the inflation right there, and they've almost suffered basically a 20 to 25% decrease in their salaries. So, and on top of that, they're getting charged more for their health insurance. So in Indiana right now, there is talk of another strike. They're watching what's going on across the country. And I guess we'll see where this leads. But there's been, this movement that is happening with teachers across the country is rolling on. And there was a story today, I guess it was in The Intercept. It was yesterday. About bus drivers in Georgia. And this was on Thursday, I believe, of last week, when Arizona school workers, teachers, voted in favor of a walkout. 400 school bus drivers in DeKalb County, Georgia, stayed home from work staging a sick out. And the real question is going to be if there can be solidarity between teachers and support workers at schools, because teachers have a lot more power, basically because of their relationships, I think, with parents, than folks like bus drivers or janitorial staff. On Friday last week, 25% of bus drivers refused to show up for work. The sick out may continue through today. The school district leadership in DeKalb County has offered no such solidarity in terms of like school boards and superintendents with the school bus drivers. In fact, last Thursday, seven of them were fired as sick out ringleaders. So the big question is whether or not this solidarity is going to jump across the vocational lines that we see in a school. And I think that's going to be very telling as to just how broad this movement can go from teachers.
It seems pretty encouraging so far.
I mean, certainly within from teachers to teachers and state to state, it's pretty impressive. And it's also the question is going to be within the schools, how much solidarity will there be between teachers and folks like bus drivers? And then also, how many other public sector workers are going to follow this model in states where they don't have the right to strike? Because it seems to me there's a whole host of different professions that are very difficult, if there is this type of solidarity, to replace quickly. Now, they don't have the same necessarily constituency that teachers have, because again, teachers are well positioned to develop relationships with the community because literally the parents want to talk to them every day. But we'll see. It is encouraging.
Yeah. And I just want to remind everyone, when you say they don't have the right to strike, they're not legally allowed to strike, but we all have the right to strike whenever we decide to.
Of course.
I mean, rights are what we take for ourselves at the end of the day.
I should say they don't necessarily have the right to maintain their jobs under current law. Yes. Or that right is not fully recognized in these states. Let's put it that way. There are statutory protections in some states that there aren't in others. But yes, your point is taken. And it's they're basically learning that it's fairly effective, which is good news. I mean, yeah. We start to work your way up from 35th in the country. I mean, the further up the chain we go, the better off we are in terms of education. But just the idea that 17 years later, you're making 15% in real dollars, not even real dollars, not even inflation adjusted dollars at that point. Plus, your health care costs have gone up.
What did the Dow do in that time, though?
Much better.
Well, I think this once again shows the contradictions inherent within neoliberalism, right? Because, you know, earlier versions of capitalism understood that we need people, we need workers, we need people to have kids, and you need to educate those kids. And, you know, there was a certain level of social support for that. And now, guess what? Like, people are being squeezed and birth rates are already dropping, I think, since the financial crisis. Haven't fully recovered, so I guess we'll see what happens.
Reproduction's going to be a problem.
No
is that
one
what you're
left
saying?
To, yeah, work in your crappy jobs.
I mean, certainly in Indiana, apparently they can't get teachers, and I guess part of that reason might be because at this rate, in another 15, 20 years, they're going to be making half what they made 40 years earlier. It's pretty stunning. Lastly. Let's talk about somebody who is doing significantly better than he did 15 years ago. Sean Hannity, apparently he makes $36 million a year. Is that, were you aware of that?
Is it 36? I heard 27.
I heard 27, but in this piece, it says that he makes substantially more than that.
He's proven his value every day.
$36 million a year for television. I don't know if that's like a combo of him on
radio.
It's
more than LeBron James makes for playing basketball.
It's a lot. But he's not sitting on his duff. No, apparently, according to records studied by The Guardian, Hannity has a group of shell companies that he's established that have spent at least $90 million on more than 870 homes in seven states over the past decade. Dozens of the properties were bought at a huge discount in 2013 after banks foreclosed on their previous owners. So somebody, at least somebody, came out well with this whole mortgage crisis. Hannity sharply criticized Obama for the U.S. foreclosure rate. Apparently, he's got two apartment complexes in Georgia he bought in 2014 for $22 million. The developments are in the cities of Perry and Brunswick, and they have higher poverty rates and lower median incomes than the average. One- and two-bedroom units in Hannity's apartment complex are available for rent for $735 to $1065 a month, according to brochures. They were funded with mortgages for $17.9 million that Hannity obtained with help from HUD, which insured the loans under a program created as part of the National Housing Act. Now, I think the stories don't go into detail about this, but I have heard of programs where you get federal subsidies to create low-income housing that the federal government then subsidizes. And then after a certain period of time, you can get market rates for them. The loans were first guaranteed under the Obama administration and then were increased by $5 million with renewed support from Ben Carson's department, who, of course, is a frequent guest on Hannity. That works out pretty well. Now, Ben Carson does have the authority to allow Hannity from 2019 to convert the rental complexes into condominiums for sale. I would like to hear more about this. I'm sure Sean Hannity will reveal any possible conflicts that he has with any of the guests on his program.
I want a TV show where Sean Hannity is a landlord.
This is like Flip That House on a grand scale. How much you want to bet he's whining right now about how he's in the news for whatever reason?
I can't invest in real estate.
I can't make a couple of small deals that involve the getting massively subsidized by the federal government.
What happened to American values? Pulling yourself up by your bootstraps with the help of the federal.
Pretty good, exactly.
The only thing I have a hard time believing is that Ben Carson was actually competent enough to help him out like that. I feel like that might have just been on, like, the procedure anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if Ben Carson did, but in the future, it seems like he has the ability. This is the real kicker, is when these things get converted from rental units into sellable units.
Where do I sign?
I mean, there's nothing like getting a huge government-backed loan. $19 million of that 22. Just got to come up with the three. And you're making $36 million a year. It can't be that hard to save that $3 million, I would imagine. I mean,
and then you pretend you
got,
like, listen,
you got your rent, right? And you got, obviously, you got to buy a car. And then cable bill, right? Electric, gas. I would say after that, there's got to be at least $33 million left. You could squeeze out that three.
But the fun part is when you get to pretend like you built it all yourself.
Exactly. And then go on to talk about how you don't want able-bodied people to get food stamps. These government subsidies. You know, that's the problem, is that you give the $19 million loan to the multimillionaire and that hammock, the floor becomes a hammock for them. That's the real problem.
Yeah, just keep on doing stuff like that, and we'll see what happens.
All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we will go into the fun half. And apparently there was a white supremacist rally down in Georgia, and of course we have footage of the cops roughing up the white supremacists. Oh, no, I'm sorry, the counter-protesters who weren't doing anything. And now, of course, you know that there's laws that were established because of the KKK. They would wear masks. And, of course, the beauty of those laws is that now they can be used with protesters who are wearing hats.
The double-edged sword of free speech.
Exactly. And Chris Kobach, in the wake of being held in contempt of court for disenfranchising people, he's out there yelling at teenagers. We have some Jordan Peterson footage. Was on this guy. Was on
with Bill Maher. Guess what Bill they talked Maher. About?
Oh, yeah, wow. Exactly. I can't wait.
We'll get to all of this and more. All right, folks, just a reminder, this program relies on you, its members, for its support. You can become a member by going to jointhemajorityreport.com. And as a way of saying thank you, we give you extra content every day. And if you're one of those people who have had a tough financial event or in a tough financial situation, sometimes it's students, sometimes it's folks my age who have to help with an elderly parent, sometimes folks who have lost a job or have been had health situation. Don't hesitate. You don't need to give us the details. Just send an email at majorityreporters@gmail.com. Say you want the fun half and you don't have the financial means at this moment or at all to do it, and we will hook you up. We will reject no one on financial grounds. So your attitude is really bad. Sometimes people, that goes for even like paying people who are paying. Yeah. We've fired a couple of members. We just don't like the attitude.
It's a special club.
That's right. Listen, you can't buy your way into this. I mean, I suppose if somebody came back, I was like, I want a Sam Cedar membership.
Where you get to call you and insult you every morning?
No, that's where you actually get to host the show and
How much would that cost?
With my family. Well, I may up it, but it's like for like a grand a month. Yeah, enjoy.
Cucknation.org.
I'll be down in the exact...
A grand a month? For the whole month?
Yeah.
Or you just get one show a month?
No, you do take over.
For just $1,000.
Come in. You got to deal with you guys. They got to do everything. Okay. I'm down in
Cancun. I mean, you're going to get some offers.
I'm down in Cancun. That's where I'm going.
Sounds like a win-win.
I think you should ask for a bit more than $1,000.
Well, maybe. Maybe I'll up it. I don't know, though. That seems like a really good situation for me.
Can't wait to meet our new dad. Your kids are saying the same thing.
Exactly. They have to go and live with the kids. Also, don't forget, tomorrow night, TMBS, you can see it on our YouTube channel. You can go right now, subscribe at iTunes, and then you won't even have to like think about it again. You can just subscribe, and then it'll just show up automatically. Same with Antifada, right? You guys are on iTunes now?
We are now in the iTunes store.
There you go.
Listen in your podcast app.
You can get more information at Jamie's Patreon at patreon.com/JamiePeck. Also, you have time. You still have 7 days. JustCoffee.coop. Fair trade coffee to your chocolate. 30% off. If you ever wanted to try Just Coffee, now is the time, ladies and gentlemen. You can try all sorts of their blends and whatnot. Get your 5-pound bags. I'm going to get another 5-pound bag, I think, in the next day or two. Yeah, I am. We get 10 pounds
of coffee
right now.
15 pounds of coffee.
I'm going to bring some home,
too. You're hoarding it.
Yeah, well, who knows? Who knows?
Prepper Sam.
Who knows? All right, take a quick break. Head into the fun half, 646-257-3920.